Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome in to Investing Simplified. However you're joining us today, thank you for making us a part of your day. Welcome to day whatever it is of quarantine, of this COVID-19 pandemic that we're all struggling through as Oregon begins to open up, as we continue to see growth in the traffic on the roads. I don't know, folks, if you've been out driving on the roads this last week, there's been a significant amount more of traffic as we head into Memorial Day weekend here. I think there's going to be a lot of more traffic. I think there's going to be people traveling, and I've seen some real positive changes in terms of the overall COVID-19 situation, whether we're talking across the country or even just talking here in Oregon. I know there are several vaccine candidates that are getting pushed through, getting moved through, and I am cautiously optimistic that we're going to get to a point where we're able to go out and live at least some sort of normalcy again. I think it's going to take some time before we get to see the real normal come back, if the real normal ever comes back. I think the world's just going to be different. But different isn't bad, folks. Different just means different, right? So we've come through things before. I've talked to a lot of clients as they've sort of referenced different time periods in our history. And this, I think, is not as bad as it could be, although it is terrible and a pandemic is terrible. Any sort of loss of life, loss of human life, is an awful thing. But I think the market has started to digest a little bit of that news, a little bit of the news about vaccine candidates. You saw Moderna spike up over the last couple of weeks as they came out with what they said a positive, or not positive, but promising results with their vaccine trials. And you know, you've really seen the market start to turn a corner, or at least some say. Now, we ended today basically flat, today being Friday with the market update. So we ended this week flat on the market on the day, Friday's close. And if you look at so far this year, the markets are still down, even adding in dividends. So if you have the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, you look at those, over so far this year, including dividends, so if you've been invested in those indices and collected the dividends, you can look this up, folks, by looking for the S&P 500 total return or the Dow Jones total return. And if you look at the Dow, we're actually negative 15% for the year so far. So still negative, still down 15% so far this year. So when you hear about these things where the market has just screamed upwards and you're missing out if you're not in the market and not claiming all your growth, I would argue that you haven't necessarily missed out if you have been invested, if you've been invested in a diversified portfolio. The S&P 500 year to date as of the end of this week is actually negative 7, a little under 8%. So still down 8%. But if you think about it, that's a big difference. The S&P was down 37% in March. Not just in the month of March, but back when we hit the bottom, you call them here, called a nadir, or the trough. The bottom of this market reversal was 37% down, right? Something like that, 33, 37. And now we're only down 7, right? When you think about most years, you think about 7% for a year being down. That might be something you'd be excited about. The NASDAQ, however, has ripped its way back up and actually, including dividends, is positive 4% for this year. So on years when the market is down, most of the time the NASDAQ is leading down. Similarly, when the market's up, it's leading up, right? And you know, we talked over the last few months that over time, if you look year over year since the year 2000, since the turn of the century, where it's a good comparison to see these market cycles, the NASDAQ outperforms on the upside but doesn't outperform on the downside. But surprisingly enough, in this particular pandemic sell-off, the NASDAQ has done really, really well. And if you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense why the NASDAQ has done so well and why the S&P has so severely outperformed the Dow so far this year, because what companies are doing well in this pandemic? It's the Amazons, the Microsofts, you know, these stay-at-home, work-from-home, these companies that benefit from the stay-at-home, work-from-home aspect have been driving up the S&P and particularly the NASDAQ, right? So you think about those big tech companies, those high flyers, has really driven up the market since the lows because people have been buying those companies. And the Dow has been dragged down by big companies like Boeing, right? Boeing has had a horrible year so far this year because obviously for good, you know, not for good reason, but understandable reasons with the way that the market is going, with the way that this pandemic has caused people to not necessarily travel via air or travel at all, right? So you can see this causes this, you know, downward movement. It causes, you know, this pull down on the Dow, which is normally, you think about, is normally the slower mover, the outperformer, the thing that's going to hold up better. But the other thing to think about, folks, when you think about these market indices and how the market is not the economy, the market is what stocks are doing, what people are buying and selling in the overall stock market. The Dow is only 30 stocks. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average is only 30 stocks. The S&P 500 is 500. The NASDAQ moves around. So, and they do sub in and out stocks based on market cap or market capitalization, how big those companies are, right? And how many shares are traded and how, you know, how much money is invested in those companies. That's how they get on or off those lists. But the Dow is smaller in terms of that it has fewer companies and it's more weighted towards industrial companies, hence Dow Jones Industrial Average, right? And so some of those companies, like the Boeings of the world, have really struggled to make their way through this particular pandemic. If you're an airline type company or an airline stock, had some trouble. That being said, there are opportunities in the market out there if you know where to look for them. And there's a lot of companies that are still on sale. If you think about historical pricing, if you look at, you know, these companies that you feel like they're really, really high, but if you actually do a measurement of the pricing of those companies, I don't think that we're severely overpriced in the market like we were. That being said, it's really hard to know how we're priced in the market because we don't really have any forward-looking earnings guidance because companies don't know what the future looks like coming out of this pandemic. So Kevin Stege's on the show today. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's seeing in his practice, talk about what he's seeing from his clients, the small businesses that are around here. But I think that's where the economy diverges from the market, right? So the economy is driven by small business. The economy is driven by spending. We're a consumption economy. You know, we've transitioned into that over the last 30 years or so. And people are, A, not going out and spending a lot of money at those small businesses because they're either forced to stay home by government edict or they are staying home to be safe and just making sure that they're not, you know, putting themselves at risk. What that means, though, is that they're not out spending money. They're not out driving the overall economy, which then does not necessarily translate to the overall stock market because when you're staying home, you're still using your Microsoft computer or your Apple computer. You're spending money to have that Zoom membership so you can, you know, check in with your friends. You are upgrading your internet maybe. You are buying things from Best Buy to fill out your your home office. You're upgrading all those things. And that's driven some of those companies from a profit standpoint And I think, you know, interestingly enough, a theory that I heard from a colleague who does a nationally syndicated radio show, and what he mentioned, which makes a lot of sense because you think about the overall market, what's closed? So if you go down into to Nevada, Las Vegas is closed. The casinos we have here, you know, we have some, you know, casinos operated on reservations here and around town, around here in Oregon and Washington, the Pacific Northwest. Those have also been closed because of the governor's orders, but also just to be safe. Then they're starting to slowly open back up. But a lot of people that normally might gamble in those casinos, I think, have started gambling a little bit in the market. And so when there's all this rush of retail money coming in that is helping to prop up the stock market, despite the fact that we have 30-something million people unemployed and that these companies aren't necessarily making money. So the thing that I would say is, while there are opportunities in the market still, while there are companies that you can buy, there are investment opportunities, that doesn't mean rush out and put all your money into the market right away, right? Because you might get in at an overpriced amount, and you might get in right before it dips, because I really do think that we're going to, if not retest the lows that we had here in March, I think there's a lot of choppiness still to come in the overall stock market, and I don't see a situation where we just rip higher. I think we're going to dance right around where we are. If you can use the S&P 500 as a proxy, we're going to dance right around that 2,900 level, I think, because there's a lot of resistance up there in terms of a technical analysis, and I think it's just not necessarily the time to go full bore. However, the flip side of that is, you know, Bo, I've been, you know, he listened to your show. I listened about when's the time to invest, and it's not a timing thing. It's a time in the market, not timing the market. But I've been, you know, putting money away in my 401k, and I'm thinking about stopping those contributions. And please don't stop contributing to your retirement plan, especially if there's a match. Right? Especially if there is a match at where you work, take advantage of that free money. You're not going to get back to it. It's going to take forever to get back to it, right? So you want to make sure that you are fully taking advantage of whatever is offered at your employer plan, at your company plan, because that free money is money that you can't put back in later. And if you miss out on days where there's, you know, the market ripped up on Monday, and that might be 30% of the market performance. You know, if you miss out on days like last week where you have these big up days, yeah, you're missing out on the big down days too. But when you're adding money, when you are in accumulation stage, when you are accumulating dollars for later, volatility is your friend. I just bring up the point of don't go rush out and just go put all of your money in, because that's different. When you're utilizing a 401k plan or an employer-sponsored plan, you are dollar-cost averaging into the market, right? And so that means you are adding money over time. As the market fluctuates, you will have a better average cost or a better average entry point than if you just tried to time it. Now, you may get lucky. You may get lucky on the when to enter. You may get lucky on when to take the money out. But what if you didn't? What if you don't get lucky? And so that's where I have worries for folks, is I don't want you to get unlucky in the market by trying to time the market. Buy those high-quality investments when you're accumulating, when you have time for that money to grow. You can also say, well, I have this money and it's just sitting on the sidelines and I want to put it to work, but I might want to buy a house here in a couple of years. I might, if it's a might situation and you can stand possibly losing money, sure, go ahead and invest that money. But if it's something you know you need in the next 6 months to a year, do not put the money at risk. And there is no safe investment when we're talking about investments. Because even if you're talking about having a CD or a savings account at the bank, that's safe in terms of your value, but it's going to lose money to inflation over time, right? So there are no gold, you know, golden tickets. There are no silver bullets. People will say, well, I'm going to buy gold. I'm going to buy silver. You know, if you remember from that, you know, that old Rudolph movie, The Claymation, silver and gold, right? That's, people think that they're going to buy commodities. And if you're going to buy silver and or gold, if you're going to try and buy oil when it dipped, then you're buying that knowing that that's a roller coaster that's going to be much higher fluctuations, much higher, you know, in volatility than just the overall stock market. Now, bonds, people would say bonds are relatively safe. Yeah, bonds are safer than stocks. And I think right now That's another reason that's driving the stock market up, because what do bonds pay you right now? If you go out and buy a municipal bond, you go out and buy a bond from a company, you go out and buy the safest bond out there, right? T-bills. You're going to go out and buy treasuries from the U.S. government, which are fairly safe. They're one of the safest investments out there. But what are you earning right now? You're earning almost nothing. And so there has been an argument, and that's an argument to be made, that a tech company like a Microsoft, perhaps, or a company like an Apple that we think are going to be around for a long time. I don't know if they are or not, right? I don't know what's going to happen to those companies, but it seems pretty reasonable to assume that they're going to be around for a long time. And if they pay a 2-3% dividend, folks have brought up, you know, they're going to go buy, you know, a Chevron of the world, something like that, that pays a great dividend. Sure. That may work. That may fit. I don't know. I don't know their particular situation, but that's what's been driving a lot of that upward movement in the market too, is people are going to those companies that pay a really strong dividend, or those companies they feel are going to be around for a long time, and they're buying those companies up. And then that's, you know, driving up the price of the stock market, because they say, well, in treasuries, I can't get but 0.5%, right? A 5-year CD at the bank pays 0.25%. That's not making me any money. So then I'm going to go buy up these stocks, because at least they pay a dividend of 2% sometimes, right? Sometimes they pay a much higher dividend. And so I'm going to go buy that dividend, even though it's not guaranteed, even though I don't know what's going to happen with the fluctuation in the market. And so that's been driving a lot of stuff up, you know, even though the fundamentals aren't there. So as you're looking at investing, as you're looking at putting your money to work, you can consider the market, because over time, the stock market just outperforms everything else over time. But that's the key there. You got to have time. You got to have time to ride the ups and the downs. And if you don't have time, it may make sense to start looking at transitioning from this accumulation stage to the distribution stage. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, but right now I'm going to take a break here. We're going to take our first break, and then we're going to transition over, and Kevin Stege is going to be joining the show. It's very exciting, folks. Kevin, the tax animal, has been in hibernation for quite a while, and he'll talk to you a little bit about why he's been in hibernation, what's kept him. It's going to be interesting. We're going to be doing this over Zoom, so we're going to see what is happening. We're going to see how we're going to get that going in this new age of technology. So bear with us as we may have some technical difficulties. It may sound like we're coming from down a well, like it did with Taylor and I last week, but we appreciate you listening. Stay tuned. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Kevin Stege with Baker and Colson, and I am, after some time away, certainly not by design, but by necessity, but it is great to be back, and it's good to be Zooming this segment with a good longtime host, Bo Caldwell.
Yeah, welcome, Kevin. I know people have been asking after you for a while now, so I know that people are going to be really excited to have you back.
Well, the tax animal is back, but he's definitely missing large patches of hair and other things that we're glad that this isn't. You and I can see each other, but we're glad our clients can't see us, because what hair I am missing has definitely turned into, you know, the hippie look a little bit, you know, 2+ months without a haircut. I'm sure there's others that can feel the same pain, right?
Right. Well, or you just go the way that I did, where I asked my wife to just take the clippers and just, but then the problem is it reveals more of the hair that is no longer there. When you go short, it's real obvious how much hair I'm missing.
That's true. I did notice that. I wasn't going to comment. I'm doing the comb over at this point of my life, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm not here to judge.
Very good. Well, interesting times for everybody. You know, a little bit of what I've been seeing is basically what's been going on with us at Baker & Coulson is, you know, we've had some staff that have needed to isolate, and we're able to keep our doors open. We have individual offices. We are an essential business, so it's been real important for us to try to get numbers for businesses, to help with cash flow planning, to help with personnel decisions during this difficult time. And then, of course, you know, in the last month, been putting stuff together for PPP loan applications for our businesses. All the while, you know, tax returns, we're trying to keep that side going, but we have less staff, and you know, we don't have double the work, but we certainly have 50%, 30% more work due to, you know, a whole new legislation that's been passed that's critical for people right now. So it's been an interesting time, to say the least. Can't understate that. And you know, if America is a cross section of my clients, which I know they're not, boy, it just seems like there's, you know, some clients, their niche fits this time, and you know, Amazon's, you know, yeah. Shopify, they can benefit, and then other clients are not going to see hardly a cent of income for the rest of the year, and you know, and their employees, you know, making those decisions. It's been a lot of tough phone calls, but you know, sure. It's something we're all trying to do the best we can and go from there.
Right, navigate our way through. I've been telling folks over the last couple of weeks that I'm confident that America will come through this. I mean, we've been through stuff like this before and been through hard times. It doesn't make it any more fun while we're in it, right? And
that's right.
You know, that the economy will, I think, you know, fundamentally will come around, you know, as we start to make our way out of, you know, of the COVID-19 restrictions and life and things like that. But it, you know, it's, I imagine for a lot of your clients, it's been difficult to not just deal with, you know, what's happened so far, but projecting out, right? I mean, the you know, looking out at what's going to happen over the next 6 months to a year to 2 years. I mean, we don't know, right? We don't know what the opening up is going to look like and how that's all going to go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Had one scenario of a client that really does detailed planning and has a lot of industry projections to base income and stuff on. And really the best case scenario was, you know, at the end of 2021, just getting back to where he was before all this started, or before they started. So it's, and on the one hand, that's kind of daunting and kind of discouraging. On the other hand, you know, there's a path through this. So, definitely I'd say unprecedented times, but you know, you kind of look at the stuff with 1918 and, mm-hmm. you know, you look at, you know, I think how difficult the last 3 or 4 months have been. But you know, this isn't wartime. This isn't World War II. You know, there's a lot of good things, still going on, and, you know, we can, that went on for 4 years. So, right. This is, hopefully just, a glitch, but it's not a bad time to reflect also and, you know, figure out, what businesses are worth keeping, what, activities we're doing that, you know, maybe aren't profitable in business and, or otherwise. And, it's a good time for self-reflection when there's such a big curve thrown at us.
Right. Yeah. I had a conversation with a client the other day, and she was born, you know, in the mid 30s. And then talked about her parents and she, for her, and she's in that high risk department right now, right? Obviously in the high risk demographic, But she's same sort of attitude you were just mentioning with World War II. She's talking about the Depression and the difference between that and now. And this is hard, but knowing what her mom went through and how her mom powered through the, you know, the heart of the Depression, and then she growing up at the, you know, towards the tail end of it, this feels a lot less difficult in comparison. Doesn't make you feel any better while we're in it, but putting it into perspective.
Yep. Every generation's had their thing. And, I just was hearing that, schools might not even open up in the fall. And I'm thinking we've got a new term for a new generation of kids. These are going to be the Corona kids, you know, that never went to school.
Right. So,
anyway.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, right? Yeah. No, I have heard that from multiple. I have some clients that are teachers, and I've heard that from multiple parents where they're worried about what school going to look like in the fall. It'll be interesting to see. I think there'll be a new normal. I think we'll get back to a certain amount of normalcy. It just takes time. It just seems like it needs to be faster, right? Because it's hard to be in it.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Well, I understand people have been sending in some questions, tax questions.
Yeah.
Some various things. I can eventually talk a little bit about what I know regarding the PPP loans and that. I would say we're dialed in as you can be on that, because I mean they're even talking next week of changing the rules again, which I'm in favor of. It's a dynamic situation. Nobody can just put a cookie cutter perfect patch on something like this. You have to adjust on the fly. And for the most part, it's been great working with people on all sides, from banks to clients, to, you know, SBA, to other CPAs, and, you know, our staff. And you know, you just, everyone's really trying to, for the most part, make things work, and our understanding of the changing nature of this. And, you know, I don't think anybody's trying to get one over on, you know, a certain segment of our industry or our society. But, you know, hopefully some changes will come through if you are one of those PPP recipients, self-employed.
Yeah, I think they're talking, and I just said, yeah, really loud, because I'm super excited about it. But I've heard that they're making noises about pushing back the 8-week requirement for paying it out. And I think a lot of those things, I agree with you, they have to be dynamic about it, because this is an unprecedented situation, what they're doing, throwing the money at it. So I have had some questions come on that, but obviously you can't speak exactly to that, because we don't even know, you know, the IRS hasn't come out and told us exactly what's happening. One question that I have had come up a few times, and I kind of laugh about it, but people are asking, now that they're working from home, are they able to deduct, you know, people are thinking about, hey, if I have a home office and I have to work from home, are they able to deduct those expenses working from home?
Used to be, yes. Under the 2017 tax law changes, the unreimbursed employee expenses section of your itemized deductions is gone. So if you can get your employer to reimburse you for your costs, that would be ideal. Otherwise, you're probably not going to see any tax benefit as an employee. As a self-employed person, depending on your situation, if you have an outside office or not, or if your home is your true location of your office, then you potentially will have the home office deduction, and that would be available, but that would be just you'd have been taking that all along typically. So
it wouldn't be different for people now switching. And the big key you mentioned in there is whether you're an employee or you're self-employed, right? That's the big distinction.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And it's always a tall order, you know. You know, if you had to go get a computer, some screens, maybe upgrade your internet, you know, to work from home, it is worth asking your employer about covering that, because you have no benefit. That's just right out of your pocket, no tax benefit, and they would be able to deduct it. So it's worth having that conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so deductibility doesn't go up just because I'm working from home. Good to know.
That's right.
The other question, I know a lot of people are kind of kicking it around. So I had one that came in off the email line that asked about, she's thinking about starting her Social Security. She's going to be 68 this fall and start her Social Security. And she's wondering, I know it's an extremely complex, silly way that they calculate how much of your Social Security is taxable, but if you could touch on that. I know a couple people have asked about that as they're contemplating early retirement, or not necessarily early retirement, but just not going back to work.
So the question is exactly,
like, how do they determine the amount of your Social Security that is taxable once working? She's still earning income.
Gotcha. Okay. So she's 68 and, basically they take half of your Social Security, they add it into the rest of your reportable income with a few adjustments. I won't go into those. And if that exceeds a certain threshold, depends if she's single or married,
right,
then your Social Security dollars start to become taxable up to, if somebody is making, if they made 60 grand, if they're single and they made 60 grand for half of the year, and then the other half they start taking Social Security, I can tell you right there, the maximum amount of Social Security is going to be taxable to them, and that's up to 85% of their total benefit that they receive. So once they get, in the year that you're working and you start taking Social Security, typically a chunk of that's going to be taxable because you have a good portion of that year making earnings, especially if you work, 8, 9, 10 months. Sure. If you retired in January and that's your only income, maybe your Social Security is not going to be so taxable.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Absolutely. And then so basically they take half, just to reiterate for folks that are listening, we take half of your Social Security income. So cut that in half right away. And then add that to your other taxable income, which includes retirement distributions, includes pensions, includes any income that you're earning from working. And then then it grades up. Certain portions of Social Security will be taxable at that point.
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay. And one other thing you can add to that would be tax exempt interest or dividends. So if somebody was, had a fair amount of that in their retirement account, a huge tax exempt bond, and they're making, 15 grand of tax-free income or 20 grand, that could be enough to make your Social Security taxable. They're not going to let you shelter your Social Security if you're using tax advantaged products.
Interesting. Good to know. Basically if someone has a question about it, they should be given somebody on your team a call, although they may not get through for a couple of days as you guys weed through the PPP program and stuff like that. But
that's right.
Yeah. Right. But Taylor and I were talking last week about gifting strategies. Basically, she's been talking to a lot of folks about the fact that Oregon has no gift tax in the state of Oregon. So a lot of people misconstrue the $15,000 limit in terms of taxable gifts as a hard and fast rule. Hey, I'm only allowed to give 15%. $15,000 without it being a taxable gift. But she was mentioning a lot of clients she's working with have started thinking about lifetime gifts, and it's a taxable gift technically, but as long as they don't exceed that federal threshold, they can get it out of their estate, conceivably tax-free, because Oregon doesn't tax gifts. If someone's thinking about doing a gift of property, is that something they can do? Like if they have a house, they're thinking about leaving it to their kids, that's what's going to push them over the $1 million. Can they give portions of that property, or do they have to give the whole thing, or how does that work?
Very good question. Cash is always so easy to get because your basis is what it's worth. You're given $10,000 in cash. Your basis is $10,000. There's no difference there. When we do tax planning on property, we have to look at what the basis is before that. So I know I've got away from your main question, and I'll talk about this later. But absolutely, yes, you can give portions of a house or a property each year. And in fact, you can, once somebody's name is on that title, since they don't specify the ownership percentages on the title, you can do a letter to the recipient if you're the the gift or you can do a letter to the recipient each year stating how much either percent or dollar value you're giving them to kind of document that. Maybe you don't want to give it all at once. Maybe you do. But the real, and that helps get you under that $1 million. So, you know, maybe you gift them 20% one year and next couple of years, you know, that got you under the million, but next couple of years, maybe, you know, your investments did well and you need to give them a little more. So you can, you know, give them another 20%, you know, you're still 60% owner. The drawback to gifting property, especially real estate, is most real estate has appreciated, and the person receiving property as a gift, they step into the original, the giftor's person's basis. So if they bought a house, you know, way back when for $50,000 and it's worth $400,000, and they're like, and you're like, hey, I want to get $400,000 out of my estate, get me under that $1 million, and you just gift the whole thing. Well, the person receiving the house now has $50,000 basis. They still got the $350,000 of gain if they're ever going to sell that property. So it would have been better to have just kicked the bucket with that property, paid your 10% inheritance tax, and
right, you know, then they don't have to sell it. They get a step up in basis at that point. Now they're inheriting a $400,000 asset that has $400,000 in basis, or $500,000, I think you said, whichever one you said.
Yeah.
But now
yeah,
we can turn around and sell it and don't have a big capital gains tax.
Yeah, exactly. So, but and that might not have been the best scenario, just pulling off the top of my head. But those are the things to look at. Is would it be better just to pay the inheritance tax if it just takes you a little over? In that case, you know, $400,000 was over. You know, that's a, you know, 10% of that's $40,000. You know, so that's that was a chunk. But you got to look at that. If you know, and potentially if it was your residence, you'd have done better to have sold it, and unless you're wanting to stay in it, but to have sold it, use the home sale exclusion, not paid any tax, and then gifted them the cash straight over. And now that also gets it out of your estate and you're not paying tax. So there's multiple ways to skin the cat, but it's good just to look at, have somebody look at the whole picture and see whether your income tax or your estate tax is the real problem.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's, you know, perfect segue into how do people get a hold of you during same contact number, but you haven't been on for a while, so they haven't heard it from you. So if they have a question about gifting, if they're trying to gift property, trying to get some, get themselves under that estate tax, obviously we want to coordinate with an estate attorney too, to make sure that it gets done legally. But from a tax perspective, they give you a call at Baker & Colson. What's that? What's the number down there?
That's right. We are at the same number, 503-666-5569. And our website is baker-colson.com. And we're out the east side of Division, 242nd and Division, in that area.
Perfect. And you did say, you know, folks are able to, you're still able to process, you know, returns. You're an essential business. You guys are still running. Obviously being, you know, physically distanced and smart about keeping people safe. But, you know, I know I speak for everybody. We appreciate you coming on today. Appreciate you taking the time out of the busy schedule, and people are glad to hear from you. So hopefully we can do this more often now. What an age to live in with the technology, right?
Absolutely, Bo. And as people have questions, they can certainly email you or text you via the website. And if they're tax related, you know, we'll try to make this more of a regular thing until they let us powwow around in the studio again.
Right. Yeah. I'm hopeful that comes sooner rather than later, because I, you know, it does help to be able to take the phone calls and have people asking them, you know, real time. But at least we're getting the information out there. So it's good to see you, my friend. And thanks for coming on today. And we'll hopefully make it a regular thing.
Okay. Thank you, Bo. You too.
We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, you missed the interesting learning experience with Zoom in this new coronavirus epidemic as we try to record the show and bring you the content, bring you the information that I know a lot of people are missing. And I know a lot of people have been missing Kevin. And the good news is we're going to be able to get him on, on a weekly basis to answer your questions. As a reminder, if you have a tax question, if you have an investment question, if you have a question for Taylor about your estate planning, you can leave those on investingsimplifiedradio.com, which is a text line, or you can send them to askbo@pfgwm.com. We want to continue to bring you the content that's relevant to you, at least until they let us back in the studio to take your phone calls. We're not able to take them right now, but you can give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or you can drop me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com. So as we get through and we finished up talking about taxation, we finished up talking about some of these steps about people thinking about early retirement, people thinking about what's going to happen if they don't go back to their job and do they turn on Social Security? Do we take the tax hit from the Social Security? It brings us back to what I was talking about in the opening segment today, where we're talking about, hey, we're accumulating. We've ridden out this market downturn. Now we're starting to rocket back up. We're getting back to the middle, getting back to, maybe closer to where we started this year. Maybe it makes sense for me to change from an accumulation stage to a distribution stage. And the thing about it is it really puts into perspective, what if you had retired in January? And this may apply to you as you're listening, that you did retire in January, you started withdrawing money, and the hard part is a lot of advisors base their recommendations, they base their income recommendations, how you're going to make it through retirement based on average returns. Okay? You've heard us talk about it here on the show before. Chuck mentioned a lot of times you can talk about the average returns of the market. We talk about since 1999, the market's returned an average of 6-7%. You'll hear advisors all the time tout their investment strategies that over the last 10 years, we've averaged 8%. We averaged 6%. We averaged 9%. We're going to get you through retirement because based on our projections, if we only average 6.5%, you're going to be just fine getting through retirement. But the thing is, folks, is that's an average return. It's not a sequence of returns. And the reason that's important is because of years like this. Years like this year, because if you retired this year, or maybe it was last year, let's say it was even last year, and you started taking withdrawals and you had your money invested, your financial advisor is doing a great job, they got you gangbusters returns over time. We're getting, averaging 6.5%, 7%, we're averaging 8%, whatever that average is. So that means, we're going to easily be able to take that safe withdrawal of 4% from our portfolio, and then bam, market's down 30%. Now, it was really fast this year, right? It was really, really fast to start the year because of the coronavirus, because of the oil issues with OPEC, because of just a confluence of events. Well, the one thing I can tell you is it's going to happen again. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe not for the next 5 years. And it probably won't happen as quickly as it did this year. But sometime between now and the end of your retirement, if you're retiring now or retiring in the very near future, we are going to have another pullback like this. Is your portfolio prepared for it, folks? Are you prepared for the ability to turn on that income? Because what happens when you quit working, right? You quit working, there's no more paychecks coming in. So now we've got to turn this savings vehicle, this retirement savings that you've done, into a long-term income plan. We got to figure out how we're going to plan for you to be able to sustain your retirement. Now, everybody's plan is different. There's no boilerplate, this works for everybody, this is the thing. Our proprietary process that we've developed over the last 50 years, and I'd say 50 years, it's not me that's developed it just over the last 50, but through time, Price Financial Group has been in business, has been helping people navigate retirement for 50 years. So we've developed this this proprietary process, right? We've developed this plan, this way that works. And yes, we make sure that it's not boilerplate, right? It is tailored to you and your particular situation, but we look at it from a, how can we make sure that you don't outlive your money? How do we make sure that your retirement plan gets you to the end of retirement? A lot of people say, well, I've got a retirement plan. I've got a plan at work. Do you? You have a, they call it a retirement plan. You have a 401k, you have a 403b, maybe you have a simple IRA, you have retirement money set aside, but what's the plan to turn that into replacing your income, folks? Because if you could make sure that your income would continue throughout your retirement or maybe increase throughout your retirement, wouldn't that be a good thing? Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to turn you into, you know, get you a pension, or we're going to go out and get a structured settlement. We're going to go out and tell, you know, an insurance company, hey, give me X amount of dollars for the rest of my life. I don't want to put you on a fixed income, because that doesn't help anybody, because it doesn't help you combat inflation. But a certain portion of your money should be allocated towards this ability to not lose money when the market goes down, to make money when the market goes up, and to make sure that you can sustain your retirement. Now, some people, some folks have dividends. I talked about that earlier on in the show today. They look at dividend paying stocks. Sure, that's a great plan if you have enough money in there that those dividends can sustain you. Because sometimes those companies cut dividends. If you've been paying attention to the news, a lot of big companies that traditionally pay really good dividends have cut them, reduced them, or stopped them altogether this year. So if you're relying on that dividend check to pay you out every year, what happens when it doesn't? Alternatively, if you've been doing dividends plus taking a little bit of principal out, which is that's a fine strategy too, what happens when the market drops 35%? Are you going to stop spending as much money? Are you going to slow down your lifestyle? Are you going to sell the house? What are you going to do to make sure that you can sustain your retirement income? Do you make sure that those paychecks keep coming in? Social Security is great. If you have a pension, if you have PERS, or you worked a long time at a company like Boeing and have a great pension, then that is excellent. That is awesome. And you have a great problem to have. We have to figure out how to make sure that the money that you've saved in this tax-deferred vehicle, this IRA, that doesn't get given to Uncle Sam because of all the changes with the SECURE Act that have come down, right? That's a great problem to have. We have to figure out how to effectively get you your money without paying a lot to the tax man. I love that problem. But a lot of people don't have a pension. They don't have a paycheck other than Social Security, and that only goes so far. So if there was some way to make sure that your plan would work long term, wouldn't you want to know about it? And when would you want to know about it? So it makes sense to make a phone call, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Let's set up some time to talk and see if the way that we manage our clients' future, the way that we make sure that our clients are set up, works for your situation, and it may not. And worst case scenario, folks, I mean, really, I can't stress this enough. The worst case scenario is we take a look at it, we sit down, we go over things, and I tell you, hey, look, I can't do any better than that. You looking good. You have done a great job. And I tell people that. There's a good amount of folks that I tell that to. But if you took that hour and I find that one thing, right, that one thing in your plan that could derail the whole thing, and you didn't know about it, wouldn't that be worth having a conversation, right? What if there was just one thing in there? And oftentimes, in my experience, there is at least one thing that people don't know about, because what you don't know can hurt you. I can't stress that enough. I know that was Chuck's tagline. What you don't know can hurt you. And I would add, and will hurt you. Because if you haven't properly planned for these roadblocks, these bumps in the road that come in, I've heard them called financial termites. I've heard them called, we could call it, I call it a roadblock if we're using this, you know, road analogy. But these potholes in your plan, in your long-term outlook that you just didn't even know were there. Folks, you're not going to buy a house without getting an inspection done. And do you do the inspection yourself, or do you have a professional take a second look? So let's get your retirement plan inspection. And you could go out and have this done by a lot of folks that are on the radio. You get it done by folks that you meet off the street, and they will charge you. And it's worth, you know, it's worth paying for. Sometimes they'll charge you $500, $1,000 to do that inspection on your financial plan, right? You think about, how much do you pay for an inspection for a house? It's something like $1,000. So why wouldn't you spend some money on having an inspection done on your financial plan? That's, you know, that's more than your house, right? That's more important than your house, because if you have the money to last through retirement, the house takes care of itself, right? So we do that as a complimentary review for radio listeners. We do that for you. And I want to tell you, you know, as people have been asking, because I've had more people asking about being able to sit down face-to-face, and we've started being able to do that, right? They've opened up our area. The governor has said it's okay to sit down. We'll maintain that social distance. We'll sit those 6 feet apart, and we'll make sure that to wear a mask to make sure that people are comfortable if you want to do that. But we also are able to do it virtually. This is a great, you know, time we're living in. We can do it virtually. You heard Kevin on earlier. We had him on via Zoom. So that way we could be on and be socially, physically distanced, so we're keeping each other safe but still able to connect. We can do via Zoom. We can do it over the phone. We can do it virtually, whatever makes the most sense for you. We want to be here and be a resource to you. And like I said, worst case is you sit down and find out, oh, I've done everything perfectly, but how good a peace of mind will that be to sit down and have that conversation? Now, we do that, like I said, complimentary. We'll sit down with you. We'll go over your situation. And then I'll tell you, if there are things that I see, if there are holes, if I see some of those termites eating away at your financial plan, those financial termites that are going to keep you from achieving your goals, then I'm going to let you know about it. I'll tell you how we might fix them. And then if it makes sense to you, then great. I'd love to work with you. If it makes sense to do it with your current advisor, great. It's a service to the community. If it makes sense for you to keep doing what you're doing, great. These are things, you know, that we offer in our office. So I encourage you to give us a call, because if it's time to start analyzing, do I change from an accumulator to a distributor? Right? Because you've been accumulating this whole time. You've built up this incredible, incredible savings. You've done a great job of stashing money away in the bank. You put it away. You've paid yourself first. Now let's make sure that money lasts you for your whole retirement. I don't have a problem with Walmart, folks. But my problem is when my clients say I'm going to have to go say welcome to Walmart so that I can get through retirement. I want to make sure that you don't have to call your kids and ask to stay with them. I want to make sure that you don't have to worry about retirement, worry about working. You want to get to that work optional stage. And the same applies if you're thinking about planning for college, if you're thinking about planning for work, like I said, work optional. If you're thinking about planning for a big investment purchase, big property purchase, give our office a call. Let's do the rundown. Let's run it through, see if we can help. And if we can, great. And if we can't, that's okay too. We'll make sure that you are set up the way that you want to be set up so that you're prepared for whatever comes in this retirement plan. We want to make sure that you have the ability to make it through retirement without taking excess risk, without paying excess fees, without worrying about what's happening in the market. Folks, I can't tell you how happy it makes me when I meet with clients and I start to talk about, here's the market update, here's what we've been doing, and they say, I don't care. How are you doing? It's a much more fun conversation to sit down with your advisor and talk about your grandkids, talk about the boat that you're going to buy, rather than talk about what the market's doing. Because if you have the confidence to know that no matter what's happening in the market, you are actually set up for success, you are actually able to achieve the lifestyle that you're looking for. And if you had an opportunity to do that, wouldn't you want to know about it? Wouldn't you want to hear about it and meet with somebody? So give our office a call, 503-253-3000, and we'll sit down and talk about it. You know, the thing that's been coming up for me too lately is a lot of folks have been asking to review things that they've done in the past with other advisors, whether that's their life insurance situation, whether they have some annuities they bought 5 or 10 years ago, whether they bought some stocks, they bought some bonds, they have some mutual funds. It really doesn't matter, folks, if it's financial, if it has a dollar sign in front of it. We're happy to review that for you and tell you what we think, tell you how we might fix it if there's a problem, or tell you that it's great and it looks great. And it really makes sense to meet with somebody, to talk with somebody. We also coordinate with your CPA, with your estate attorney, or if you don't have one of those, I'm partial to Kevin and Taylor, obviously, because I work so closely with them, but I'm happy to refer you to folks that I know and that I trust to take good care of you. We're happy to do that as a service to the community. So, I appreciate you listening to me today, folks. I appreciate you sitting through the rambling that I have done all today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully, we'll be back in the studio soon to take your phone calls. But until then, Kevin and Taylor will be joining me on a weekly basis, either virtually or in person, and we'd love to keep bringing you that content. So send me an email, askbo@pfgwm.com, if you have any questions. Thank you so much for taking the time today. God bless you all. Have a great holiday weekend.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.